This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Bundling home and car insurance with Geico is so easy, your neighbors are probably already doing it. But who? They may drop little hints like,
"Beautiful day out. Even more beautiful since we saved by bundling our home and car insurance with Geico."
Or,
"Yard work is hard. Much harder than bundling with Geico, which was easy."
Or it may be even subtler, like,
"Speaking of burgers, we bundled our home and car insurance with Geico and saved a bunch of money."
Bundling is easy with Geico. Just ask your neighbors.
Julian, you've obviously got a passion for non-league football. What is the attraction to that level for you?
I don't know. I played for Canby when I finished my career at West Ham. I played for Canby for a few games and I loved it. It was like when I first started playing football. It was, you could kick people, you could elbow people, you could have a fight. The referee would give you three or four warnings even before he booked you. And on like the fifth one, you go, "Do it again, I'm going to book you." It was, and it's still the same. It's a lot of passion in non-league football. Obviously, that you don't get a great deal of supporters, but you get a lot of passion from the players in football because they work all week. They turn up on the Tuesday night in training. They turn up on the Thursday night in training. They turn up on a Saturday and play. Sometimes they play on a Tuesday and they have to get off work early. So they do it because they really, really want to do it. That's what appeals to me.
Do you know what? It's really interesting you say that because I can imagine, I'm not for one second saying that every footballer in Premier League level that's earning big money doesn't do it for the love of the game anymore. I'm sure they do. But at non-league level, you have to play because you love the game. Whereas I'm assuming at Premier League level, some of the big earners, you know, become accustomed to earning the big money and that becomes more of a priority to them than playing the game itself.
Yeah, possibly. Like I said, like when I was at Heybridge, my highest earning was on £225 a week. All right. It's not to be sniffed at, but like I said, it's not vast amounts of money. So like I said, they work all week and they have to obviously from work on a Tuesday, get in their car or get on the train. Some of them used to get on the train and come to training. So it is, They do it because they really, really want to do it.
Mm. I mean, you mentioned Heybridge Swifts there. Let's talk about your experience with them. Did you enjoy your time there?
Loved every minute. Like I said, I knew the chairman, Gary White, only through going to Heybridge to watch him because I knew the vice chairman, Steve Spreadbury. I used to coach his under-9s and his under-10s and 11s. Like I said before, I went to West Brom, Heybridge the season before. We're going through a bad spell and the manager resigned. And I went and had my interview and they gave me the job. And like I said, I'm from the beginning, I always set out my stall how I'm going to be. I mean, I'm always the same, but I always tell the players the truth. So they can't turn around and go, "Well, you didn't say this, you didn't say that," but that's how I put myself across to them. And I said to them, "All I expect of you is to get every single training session, do the best you can and work as hard as you can in every single game, be the same and we'll have no problems." But listen, it's football. I mean, there's times in training that they go through the motions. There's a couple of times I stopped it and told them to fuck off home. They look at me thinking, hang on a minute. And then they settle down and then they start training properly. One or two games, we didn't work hard enough and we got our asses kicked. But listen, like I said, that is football. I can't remember how many games I was in charge for. It's 30-odd games. So, like, probably about two games, maybe three, that they didn't work hard enough, which on all of it is pretty good.
Well, it was a successful time because from what I remember, you took over and the club was kind of struggling in the league. And then by the end of it, you got to the playoff finals and won that. So the approach you took towards the management of the team worked.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was always truthful with them. And I have a pet hate is when people get taken off or they get substituted and they start throwing their arms in the air and being disrespectful. I mean, that really, really pisses me off. I mean, like, it's not nice to get taken off, but if you're not winning, things have to change. And I said to them in the beginning, look, I don't like people been disrespectful on the touchline. I said, there's two reasons why you get taken off, unless you're injured, but there's two reasons why you get taken off. One is tactical and one is you're having a shit game. I said, so I don't mind you coming after the game and going, listen, why did you take me off? I had one player that done that to me. He said, why did you take me off? I went, to be fair, you were fucking shit. I said, you're my centre forward. You didn't have one shot on target. I said, what do you want me to do? Just keep playing you? And he went, well, no, that's fine. I'd like, the thing is, people appreciate honesty. Yeah. Even when I didn't play players, I used to pull them to one side. I said, look, you're not playing today because of you haven't been doing it or you haven't been doing this. And they can never turn around and go, well, yeah, but you never told me. I always tell them. Always tell them if they're not playing, I'll always drag them to one side and say, look, today you're on the bench, blah, blah, blah. And listen, not everybody likes it, but for me, the best policy is to be honest with your players. And I've done that from day one. I've done that, even like in training. I mean, we started at 7:30, and if they were late, they would get fined. But we started at 7:30, and we will finish at 9:00 on the dot. One, because hour and a half is long enough, but some people had to travel like 45 minutes to get home. So I always finished at 9:00 so they could like have a drink in the bar, or whatever, then they can go home. So, and that was every training session.
I've got to ask, I mean, you're talking about one of your players, your top earners being on just over 200 quid. What would the fine be if they turned up late?
It's only a fiver.
Right, right.
There's no excuses for turning up late. I mean, when I mean that, I mean is they can, like, when they got mobile phones now, they can text me and say, listen, Gaffer, I'm going to be 5 minutes late. Then they won't get fined. You know what I mean? It's just a bit of respect to say, listen, I'm going to be late. But if they start doing it every week, then there's a problem. Once in a while, listen, you have to accept that because they work. Some of them worked in London and we were training at Heybridge. You know what I mean? It's a long way to come for training. But again, they signed up. They get their money. They have to do what they have to do.
I mean, I think you answered the question with your last answer. But what is your managerial approach to dealing with non-league players? I mean, is there any aspect of non-league management that is so drastically different to a professional standard?
No, I treated everybody the same, whether that was West Ham Ladies, whether that is West Ham First Team, West Brom First Team, Heybridge, even coaching the kids, I treat them all the same because it's football. Well, obviously, there's different standards, of course there is, but they all wanna learn. But I remember when I went into Heybridge, the first game we won 4-3. We played Mildenhall, we won 4-3. And what I'd done, there's a thing called huddle, which you can watch the game on. You can stop it and watch the game and. What I used to do for the first 10 minutes, I used to see how many times they give the ball away. Then I think from 32 to 42, I'd see how many times they give the ball away. Then I would do it in the last 12 minutes of the game. And the first time they give the ball away 83 times. I mean, you're looking at it in a space of like 30 minutes.
Jesus.
So ball in play, you're probably looking maximum probably 12 minutes. So they give the ball away 83 times.
Wow.
Which is obviously incredible. But listen, we're in non-league. It happens. But over the course of the games, I've done it for every game. And there was one game, in the same minutes, they give the ball away 6 times.
Really? Wow.
Six, from 83 to 6 times. Mm-hmm. Every time I come down. Until we got to one, they give the ball away 6 times, which to me is fantastic.
Yeah, that's amazing. But
they wouldn't have known that if I hadn't have done what I'd done. And wow. All credit to them, they all took it on board. It's like I said to you the other day, I look at Man City, they keep the ball. Whether they're passing the ball 2 yards, they keep the ball. If they haven't got the ball, they go and get it.
Mm.
And that's what I try to do with my players. It's hard enough to get it. But it's harder to keep the ball. So you have to have movement off the ball. You have to have people running. It's not a case of just, you stand still and just pass the ball about. You have to move. And they were. And like I said, it went down to 6. They give the ball away 6 times. Then it started to go back up. But again, you just drag them. You say, look, we have to do this again. And they were superb. They took everything on board. And I mean, I used to work their nuts off in training. Everything with a ball. There was no like running or just like without a ball or anything like that. Everything was with a ball. But the longest they worked for was 5 minutes, whether that was a 10v10 keep ball. But that was the longest they worked for. And then you'd have a break and you'd do it again. So you expect everything for 5 minutes. In football terms, is a long time if you're running around like a loon. So it was. They took everything on board. They were superb.
And I know that you weren't the biggest fan of training without a ball at your feet. So, was you implementing training sessions that you would have wanted to have as a player? Is that how you worked?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like with John Lyle. I mean, the only time we ran with John was pre-season.
Mm.
We never ran around the pitches. You know what I mean? Like that. Maybe your warm up, you'd have a couple of laps, but that would be it. Everything was with a football. Listen, you play football with a football. Mm. So, you know what I mean? Like, I think the only time I did run them is when it was on a Friday night. They went out and had a Christmas party and I ran the nuts off them on Saturday. but that was it. And they knew, because I said to them, they said, look, Gaffer, we're going to have a Christmas party on the Friday. Do you want to come with us? I went, no, I'm all right. I said, but look, I have no problems with you. We're starting at 9 o'clock. I said, I have no problems with you coming in at 5 to 9, getting your gear on and running and puking up. I said, but I expect you to do this. And they went, yeah, not a problem, not a problem. And they all done it. You know what I mean? They mind and they whinge, fucking hell, we're running, blah, blah, blah. but they knew they had to do it. And like I said, they took everything I'd done, they took on board. Every single thing they took on board.
So how can you be successful at non-league level when you have next to no budget to recruit new players? What's the key to getting players in?
Well, I mean, like I said, my chairman and my vice chairman at Heybridge were superb. Again, there ain't a lot of money at that level, but you have to try and get the best players you can. And maybe say to them, look, I used to say to my players that I could give you £100 a week or I'd give you £125 a week. I'll give you £25 a goal. I'll give you £25 appearance. So it boosts their money. Some players accept it. Some players didn't. I'm not a manager to go, oh, yeah, here you go. You have £300 a week. You have to earn your money.
Mm.
So if you're here, we had a player there. When I first went there, we had a player there. He was on £30 a week, this kid. Honestly, £30 a week.
Really?
Yeah. And he used every training session. He'd work his nuts off. Every game, he'd work his nuts off. So I went and seen my chairman's and I said, look, he's on £30 a week. And he's one of the hardest workers at this club. I said, so listen, double his money, which obviously goes to £60. It's not massive amounts of money. But I went and told him and he's like, whoa, you think you give him £100,000 a week? You know what I mean? He appreciated it. And he couldn't work any harder for his money because he'd done it every training session in every game. And when I left, he ended up on £120 a week because he worked his nuts off. So I said to the boys, look, if you want more money, you have to earn it. I'm not going to come here and go, right, yeah, you can have 200, you can have this, you can have that. I said, don't work like that. I said, you want more money? You earn it. And if you're a striker, you have to score goals. If you're a defender, you have to stop conceding goals. If you're a midfield player, you have to do both. You know what I mean? And like I said, they did grasp it because quite a few of them had pay rises. So like recruiting players, it is difficult. You get to know certain players at certain teams. I'd like to think that they will come and play for me.
I think that's not
being big-headed or anything.
No,
like
I agree.
That, I would like them to think, oh yeah, hang on a minute. I think I could do something here. And it ain't a case of if they're too good for my team. I pulled one or two of them to the side and said, look, you shouldn't be playing at this level. You should be playing higher. You know what I mean? You should be playing higher, whether that's national or Division Two. You should be at that level. And I have contact, of course I do, because I've been in football a long, long time. Yeah. And I use them to get players to bigger clubs. Because listen, we all want to be a professional footballer. Not everybody makes it, I understand that, but if you can help somebody along the line, go, hang on a minute, yeah, here you go. Here's your opportunity. Then it's, for me, it's great. I don't want to lose my best players. Of course I don't, but I still want to see players play as high as they can because that's what we're all in football for.
And it's a good recruitment tool in itself as well, because if they see that players are playing for you and then going on to play for, you know, higher league clubs, then those other players are going to think, well, if I get myself there, I might be able to develop as well. So I think it sort of rewards you that way as well, probably.
Of course it does, yeah. Yeah.
Spot on. So now that you're a free agent after leaving West Brom, Julian, I'm assuming you're looking to get back into non-league management.
Yeah, I want to get back into non-league. But at the moment, obviously, with COVID and everything else, a lot of leagues have stopped. There's only a certain number of like leagues that are still playing. So at the moment, is a bit quiet. But yeah, I want to get back into non-league.
So would you say that you'd take non-league management over, say, a coaching role in the Premier League or Championship?
If it was without Slav, yeah.
Wow.
If it was with Slav, then like I said, I would go. I would obviously Championship, Premiership, Div 1, Div 2. I know Slav won't go down that far, but I would go. I would go with him. But that's the only person that I would go with. So for me, yeah, I would choose non-league over them.
It's interesting. I mean, how easy is it for an established name like yourself to get a job at non-league? I mean, does it help you or does it count against you to be Julian Dix?
To be fair, it goes against me. I mean, when I left West Ham, obviously coaching wise, I went for quite a few non-league jobs, put my CV in and things like that. I didn't even get any interviews. There was one or two clubs that didn't even reply.
Wow,
that's incredible. But
yeah,
I don't mean because of what I've done or anything. But it doesn't matter who it is. If somebody's sent their CV and they should go, listen, thank you very much, but no, thank you.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I mean, I didn't even get one interview, and I went for five jobs.
Gosh,
not one interview. One is because they think I want too much money. Like I said to you the other day, football's not about money for me. It never has been.
No.
I love football. I love playing. And I know we all need money to survive and things like that. But I need job satisfaction. So, like I said, it's not about money for me. It non-league level.
It's incredible, isn't it? I mean, if you was a non-league club, you would at least ask the question over a wage, wouldn't you? You would do, because you know you've got someone who's played the game, you've got someone who's managed already at non-league level successfully, you've got a player that would probably have contacts within the game, and you've got a player there that would probably attract a crowd, which would increase your gate revenue.
Especially in Essex.
I find it incredible that a non-league chairman wouldn't at least ask the question, even if he thought Julian might be too much money. So that blows my mind. But Julian, what is important to you when choosing your next club? I mean, what boxes do they have to tick?
For me, the only box they have to tick is that they want to be ambitious. Mm. That's it. I mean, obviously, you need a certain amount of money there to attract players to play. But they have to be ambitious. I don't want to be at a club where the chairman's happy to stay at that level, maybe in the top half of the table. And that happens because, obviously, the higher you go, the more it costs. And I know people say, well, yeah, you can get sponsors, you can get this, you can get that. But it doesn't always happen. And it does hinder a lot of clubs when they go up. They can't afford. I mean, you look at coaches. I mean, coaches that you go to games on, you're looking like £600-800 a pop, which is a lot of money to find if you're a non-league club. So, I mean, when we're at Heybridge, we only had a coach twice. I know most of them are local, but we only had a coach twice because they are so much money. But if you, the higher you go, the league you go in is like national. So, like say the national league, you're traveling everywhere, and you have to, not say you have to, but majority of the time you need a coach, which again you're looking at maybe £600-800 every other week. That's with obviously our players' wages. So again, there needs to be obviously certain amounts of money there for players' wages in such. But yeah, it's just about having a chairman in the board that are ambitious, because I'm, like I say, I'm an ambitious person. When I went into Heybridge, like they asked me, so, well, what do you want? I said, well, fuck me, I want to get promoted. And they go, yeah, but we're 15th. I went, yeah, but I want to get promoted. That's it. Whether we get promoted or not means to be seen. I said, but they need to get promoted. And if we get promoted next season, I want to get promoted again.
Yeah.
That's what football's all about. It's about progression.
Yeah.
Spot on. Yeah. I mean, right, let's make this hypothetical. Okay, let's say I'm a chairman of a non-league club. Here's the Euro Millions draw tonight.
I wouldn't fucking time for you.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Good answer.
To be fair, I wouldn't appoint myself either. But
I thought he was going to say I wouldn't appoint you then. I was thinking, oh, it's going to kick off.
I'm not starting on the terminator. So I'm owning my club now. I've won the Euro Millions. I mean, I haven't bought tickets, and it seems very hypothetical, but let's just say I did. And I want to appoint Julian Dix. So I think, right, yeah, he's the man for the job. I'm going to appoint him. What am I going to get out of appointing Julian Dix? What is he going to bring to the plate for me?
I will give, like I did at Heybridge, I'll give the players all my attention every Tuesday night, every Thursday night, every Saturday. I want to win every single game. I know it's impossible, but I want to win every single game. Again, like with Heybridge, I do the best for the club. I'm not a manager to go in, like I said to you earlier, I'm not a manager to go in, oh, yeah, you can have £300 a week. Because I had players come in and say, yeah, I went, well, how much do you think you're worth? He goes, yeah, £300. I went, mate, the highest earner is £225. I said, so unless you come down to a reasonable rate, then we have to say goodbye. So, and most of them do. And listen, we all try things and go, yeah, I want £300. I want this and I want that. So for me, it's not, I look after the club's interest as well. I know it's not my money, but I don't like people taking the piss out of me when it comes to football and wages and this and that. So, I mean, the chairman will get my honest opinion on everything. Like I said, with the other two at Heybridge, I give them my honest opinion. Sometimes people like it, some people don't, but I am what I am. And like I said to you before, with the players, I'm always respectful of the players, but I always tell them the truth. They might not want to hear what I have to say, but they hear it nonetheless. So they will get 100% from me every single training session, every single game.
No doubt.
Spot on.
Absolutely no doubt. Well, Julian, I can't for one second believe that there won't be a queue of clubs waiting to take you on now you're available. But until they do, good luck to you, mate. And we're looking forward to seeing the next chapter in your career.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Finding the right person for the job isn't easy. Just ask someone who hired a stuntman to do their home renovations.
Just finished a new sunroom, Mrs. C. The best part is I used candy glass for all the windows, so you can do this and this. Doesn't hurt a bit either.
But if you've got an insurance question, you can always count on your local GEICO agent. They can bundle your policies, which could save you hundreds.
And if you don't want to take the long way to the kitchen, the walls are breakaway too. See?
For expert help with all your insurance needs, visit geico.com/local today.
It's Macy's Labor Day sale, so gear up as summer cools down with 30% off timeless looks from Levi's and specials like 30 to 50% off statement-making shoes for her and 60% off luggage from Samsonite and more. Or use your coupon or Macy's card and get an extra 20% off more great deals. Plus, Star Rewards members can earn rewards even faster during Macy's Star Money Bonus Days, going on now. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.